continue without I set the habit. I will read this now again for the instructions of our English-speaking devotees and then give my lecture. Nitesha kalata yukta ni hrita popa shamanicha avanti smaratas chetam bhubindra vihita ve. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityaname Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaudavani Prasadine Nira Vishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satadine Namaste Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaudavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, in this verse we hear of what remains one of the greatest wonders in spiritual life, the life of Krishna consciousness. We hear about the potency of the Vani, the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which when followed makes a bridge over time, space, and connects the follower with the Lord Himself. Let me just recapture a little bit what is happening in this chapter, so that you will be able to appreciate more this verse. Lord Krishna had left the planet, and Arjuna was entrusted with the duty to go to Dwarka, bring the lives of the Lord to the capital of the Pandavas, Hastinapur. Now, on his way, or during his journey, he saw that the Kali Yuga had come and had cast inauspiciousness all over the countryside. In fact, Arjuna saw scenes of asses galloping and giving birth to dogs. He saw how the deities in the temple cried out, seeing the inauspicious atmosphere of the age we are living in, the Kali Yuga. And it seemed to him, he looked into the temple, that deities were just moving from the altars, escaping from the atmosphere. This was a very traumatic vision of Arjuna. It became more heavy because he was the great warrior who was once able to single-handedly fight and even defeat the huge Trilinga army. This huge warrior with the same strong arms and same strong bow was not able to chase away a few Shrasdiva, how do you say this in English, a few people to rob you, a few bandits. Imagine what a defeat Arjuna could not really fight. It must have been around 20 or so. This is a very insignificant number for a Maharati fighter, for a big warrior. He could not fight that. So when he was seeing both the inauspiciousness, let me say, when he was seeing the inauspiciousness all around himself, and then his own loss of power, which was also very inauspicious, he was a crushed man. He was just finished, kaput. There was no inspiration in him. He was just a broken man, I think you say in English, isn't it? A broken.
Humiliated.
But
dejected.
Extremely sad. The sum total of all sadness. What he could say. Who is sad here? Of course, no one will raise his hands because that will become the talk of the temple. We will become. But I know about five devotees here who are extremely sad. Oh, who is this? You will not get a clue out of me who this is. That's the fact. So. But not like Arjuna. Arjuna was a broken man. So what did he do in this very embarrassing situation and very dreadful situation? He consulted the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just described here. Then Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence. He wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. Very nicely, poetically described. So, vani, or instructions which are left behind, have such a potency that it cannot only, take away your mental misery, but it can practically solve your life. In giving you a direction out of entanglements. I want to narrate to you a little historical event which is connected with Christianity. You know Pontius Pilatus, you heard his name. He was the representative of the Roman Empire who had to make the judgment about what to do with a rebel called Jesus Christ. So, he was a very intelligent man. He asked Jesus to come before him. And then he asked him a question for his judgment. Listen very carefully to the question. He said, "Where are you more powerful? When you are living or when you are dead?" Now, this question is, for some of us, a question, of course. When someone is dead, there's no power even to eat, or to speak of walking or seeing or any perception. But Pontius Pilatus was not a fool. He knew that. His question, "When are you more powerful?" really referred to the vani, or the instructions of Jesus Christ. wanted to know, now you are living, you are preaching that the kingdom on earth is not so important as the kingdom in heaven. You are, in other words, speaking of somewhat like a transcendental message. People follow you. But, you know, I fear when I kill you, when we execute you, more people will follow you. He looked into the future. The Christianity would spread all over the planet based on the teaching of Jesus. So he said, the best thing really is that you proclaim to the people of the world, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. My teachings are glupasti. Do you follow this logic? Then everyone will forget about you. You will be just a historical figure who taught from so-and-so to so-and-so. And yes, who was just a freak of nature. But no one will really get it. They'll follow you. So Jesus did not revoke his teachings. He continued it. Therefore, some people, or many people, are exposed to the type of God consciousness which he taught. So this is a little example telling you how Vani, or the instructions of a great personality, carry a lot of potency, even beyond the actual presence of this personality among the world of men, or in the world of men. Another example is what we are concerned with today, the instructions of Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's vahu, or personal presence, cannot be had in about we say like this, Krishna left the planet 5,000 years ago. But Krishna's presence can be keenly felt by someone who reads his instructions, the Bhagavad Gita, even after a long, long time. There are many testimonies of people who read the Bhagavad Gita and feel a great inspiration in their life and a great power also to change their life. See, scriptural knowledge is not just for information, it's very important, it's for transformation. It transforms a person who is materialistically minded into a devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, he said that with the appearance of the Bhagavad Gita as it is the presentation of this book according to the intention of Krishna. Many people all over the world have benefited and become devotees. Just a little while ago I heard about the Leela connected with the Gita, which happened in Sweden. In the north of Sweden, way, way up, the winters have an almost deadening effect on nature. Yes, for half a year, all of nature is covered with a death cloth of white snow. And it's not just some little snow like, you know, in here. It can, you know, sometimes it's up to 5 meters high. The people who live there equip themselves by making a type of bread and hanging this on the rope. made. That's all. And whatever provisions they have, I mean, it's like I'm describing now to you an extreme winter, which lasts up to 6 months and covers the residents of northern Sweden in 5 meter high snow. So there was one man, one boy. He lived up north, and in the summer went down to Stockholm and purchased a Bhagavad Gita as it is on the street. Now he came back up north, and then the cold season started to snow until his house was covered, and he had to live underneath the snow. All he had is his bread and the Bhagavad Gita. For half a year he just studied the Bhagavad Gita. And when he was through, when he was finished, he understood this is not a sane life. 6 months under snow, this is really bad. I must become a devotee, servant of Krishna. I must go to a temple where I can serve Krishna in the association with like-minded Vaishnavas. He left his little hope, his little place up north, and became a devotee. To my knowledge, he is still in the movement of Krishna consciousness. I don't know. I don't think it's Sweden. He traveled onwards into other countries. Yes. So this is the power of the Vani. Anyone in every part of the world who studies the Bhagavad Gita gets this tremendous potency. I must tell you something private here, although a lecture is not meant really for that. But it is giving such a deep insight. A little while ago, when I was still not able to travel and do my service of preaching, I decided to make a study of the Bhagavad Gita again. Now, I've read the Bhagavad Gita for about 10 times because I translated it from English into German. And I thought that I have a fair good understanding of the Gita. I worked through every verse, thought about it for a long time in order to put it into the German language. But in this study, which I did just a month ago or so, I discovered so many jewels of the Bhagavad Gita, so many instructions that still to this time, that I just remember the teachings of the Gita, I feel great inspiration. That's the reason why in my coming lectures here, when the evening lectures, I will give Gita lectures where I will go through chapters, not verses, but chapters. I just can recommend to all of you to get deeply involved with the Bhagavad Gita. And just like Arjuna, you will feel delivery from all kinds of embarrassing thoughts and thought patterns. You will definitely come to the transcendental platform. Please try. This is the power of the Vani. Now, I want to talk a little bit on the Vani. Srila Prabhupada, in the year 1967, began to teach his disciples about the secret of Vani. It was, in 66, the devotees all thought, Prabhupada will always remain in New York. They couldn't really imagine life without Prabhupada's personal presence. But then, a little later, he surprised them. No, actually, he prepared them in New York. He always said, this movement will take over the world, or the whole world is waiting for our spiritual revolution. But the devotee thought, well, How does Swamiji mean this? I mean, he was obviously on the stay in New York. How can it be a word revolution? But they became accustomed to Prabhupada making unusual statements. Once in London, Prabhupada said to the devotees, I think Krishna's right arm is tired from playing flute. So the devotees thought, how transcendental. How does Prabhupada know such a detail? Krishna's right arm is playing, is tired from playing flute. Prabhupada then made the relief. He got the something that looks like piece of wood, or say like a walking stick. He said, what under Krishna's right arm, so that he could rest his arm there. So the same way devotees, when they heard Prabhupada speaking, it was all beyond them, totally beyond them. So when Prabhupada announced that he would go to San Francisco, they just didn't believe it. They thought, it cannot be. But he went into the plane and went to San Francisco. I believe a month later, the devotees wrote him a tearful letter. Oh, Prabhupada, we are missing you so much. We can't really continue. Please come back. It was impossible. There's so much suffering. And Prabhupada wrote them a letter at that time where he stressed the potency of Vani. He said, presence of the transcendental sound received from the spiritual master should be the guidance of life. And then he told them they could also place a picture of him on his sitting place. Said. So this presence, really read it again, it's so nicely phrased. Presence of the transcendental sound received from the spiritual master should be the guidance of life. If you want to feel the presence of your spiritual master, if you want to feel the presence of Krishna in your life, you have to approach the concept of Vani in your life. Swami instructions. Srila Prabhupada used to say, I used to practice this secret of spiritual life, and he said, as far as I am concerned, I feel never separated from my spiritual master. Because he lived in the instructions, in the Vani. So if you also want to have this, repeating myself, I know, but it's such an important point. If you also want to be linked up with your spiritual master, you will have to think deeply about Vani. Prabhupada wrote in another letter, written it down here, you may be in one part of the world and I in another, but by chanting or by following my instructions, we are picked up. Pakirate. We are pakirate. Picked up. This is very it's a typical Prabhupada way of saying things. Picked up means very close together. If I'm picked up with someone, I'm practically sitting with him on the same square meter. So this this following the instructions is really the best form of instruction of associating. See, someone that was there during Prabhupada's times, devotees would travel after Prabhupada. They would just go to whatever place he visited. He had like an entourage of sometimes 20 to 30 devotees, his disciples, who just had some more money, maybe by an inheritance, and traveled to the places which he visited behind him. But Prabhupada was really much more connected, even pleased, with those disciples who would stay in the paths of the world and follow his instructions. Because, see, what makes us all so close to each other? It's not the fact that we live at this, in the same house. The fact is that we follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Even I have experienced this as a traveling preacher. When I come to a different part of the world, you feel immediately just very close to the people, to the devotees, because we follow the same lifestyle, we follow Krishna. I feel there is no barrier to break through in order to know this person. I know if I can just sit down with him, and in 5 minutes we feel extremely close, as if we know each other since a long time, because we follow the Vani of Krishna. Do you have this experience also? Yeah, yes, Priyavrata Prabhu, a world traveling preacher, and the organizer of our Food for Life programs all over the world. And I think you must have this experience. You come to a temple where you were not, never were in your life, and then you meet these devotees. And if and you may discover this mystical thing, you sit down and you start to talk seriously about spiritual life, about Krishna consciousness, and immediately the connection is there very tight. This is another mystery of Vani, following the instructions of Krishna and the spiritual master. It brings people together on a very, very powerful level. When we had this concert just a few days ago in our Zagreb town, Zagreb, there was a man from the UN, this woman, I do not know, he said, "What you are doing here is a mystery for us. You're trying to bring people together,
but it just doesn't work."
We're different by ages, by schooling, by all these differences which exist in the material world. What the United Nations needs to know is that they have to follow the instructions of Krishna. Then it will be possible for them also. As long as they don't, they'll be very superficial. So, I feel that my audience today, at least those who listen, they should think deeply about a point. But before I will make this point, I will totally agitate you so that you will listen very carefully. I will do now one of the rhetoric tricks of a speaker. I don't know, because you don't know me so well that you might get a wrong impression. I may not do this. Let me see. Am I in Slovenia? It's a little. Yes, you're a young yatra, maybe I should not do this. I will do it in a different way. I want to now get your attention, and I will now do something to you to try to get it. What will we do today? It's a young yatra. I'm not so philosophically trained. I will tell you a story. Once there was a cat.
See, already the intention was maybe 2, now it's climbing up to 5, hope to get to 8 out of 10. And the cat lived at the blacksmith place, Schmiede, you say in German. That's where they ding, 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 from morning to the evening, the cat heard the ding, 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 ding. Now, it got accustomed to this noise, and one day went to another house to drink some milk. And the man who was there saw the cat and took a movement and found out that every day the devotees hear lectures, but so when they give lectures, it doesn't really make a difference. They're so accustomed to the sound of philosophical words that it really doesn't sink in or captures the fascination or the attention. And this way, you can make all the points of the world as a lecturer. The audience hears them, then leaves the temple, takes prasadam, and forgets. This is the statistical experience. I have made my statistics about this and asked myself about how much energy I really should put into giving lectures in temples, because it's all forgotten in the next few minutes after the lecture. So, I told you a story, and I'm a little bit agitated. You only little I can do about 100 times as strong. Please listen to this point now. If you want to be together with Krishna, if you want to feel the presence of Krishna, if you want to feel the presence of a spiritual master in your life, you don't just want to be a routine Vaishnava. Think about Vani. Vani is like a bridge which can cover the huge distance which one often feels between one's spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is described by Srila Prabhupada, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount, that is, means it's equal to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means the meeting of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. One should serve the words of the spiritual master and stick to whatever he orders. By following that line, one sees the personality of Godhead. Yes. So this is the Vani, power of the Vani. It's a thing we all have to think about in our private times. How well we do in following the instructions. How well we do in understanding, first of all, the instructions, then following them. And how we can improve in this area. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'm a little sorry if I shocked a few of you, but I felt my purpose was justifying my means. Hare Krishna. Do you have any question? Have a good time smiling. Oh, Krishna.
too late. Your head was up first, I think.
So you're so tired today. Come, don't function normally. Yes, what is your question?
What is the importance of feedback in spiritual life, taking feedback?
I think it is important how the question often the devotee wants that people, he should see how good am I following the vani of my spiritual master. Sometimes when the spiritual master is present, one can ask him directly. When he is not present, one can ask God brothers and God sisters. We, in the Prabhupada disciples, all think that Srila Prabhupada is now in the hearts of his sincere disciples who follow his instructions. Therefore, by asking these God brothers, God sisters, we have the feeling Prabhupada is present. I know in Srila Mayapur, almost every Mayapur meeting, the devotees who come back, the God brothers, they say that in these discussions which they do as our GBC devotees, that Prabhupada is present, they feel that presence, and by getting these good ideas, which are all this good. So feedback is feedback is important, because often you can't see yourself very nicely. I sometimes want to be for one day a non-sachinandan smadhi. I just sometimes think, I could just watch me for one day. I know this would be very healthy for my self-improvement. Imagine you see yourself not through your own glasses. You would have we always have the best opinion about ourselves, isn't it? We think we really mean well. We have a good character, basically. Few weaknesses may be there, but we are good people. That's what we generally think. But if we could just see ourselves, imagine, Udata, you could see yourself from the distance, you will discover many things which you have not thought about. Isn't it? I don't speak now of only negative things, also just peculiarities or peculiar things, special.
Peculiarities.
Peculiarities.
Nonsense.
Idiosyncrasies. That means just special features of you. Yeah. Yes. For instance, to me my laughter sounds very sympathetic, but I've heard others who said, your laughter is a mixture of everything. They hear it totally different. I remember when I was a child, I was speaking such heavy language that my parents thought, this person can only learn if you buy him a tape recorder, and he speaks on a tape recorder, then he hears his own voice. How he just swallows syllables and syllables. and how his German is not even proper German because he pronounces the words different than it's usually done, and so on. And I remember the day I heard my voice on the tape recorder, I was shocked. Have you this experience also? You thought you were having such a nice voice, and then all of a sudden... Isn't it the first time? First time I thought, who is this? He must be an abnormal character. Then I, now I'm accustomed, now I'm... Why? Because you hear yourself differently. Your body resonates. Makes a natural resonance, and then it sounds in a certain way, but the sound is totally different from others here. So, yes, sometimes good to get the feedback, to go to God Brother and say, how am I doing? How about, how do you see my activities? Many times we are very afraid of this because we just feel intuitively that maybe I'm not as glorious as I'm thinking I am. But we don't want to hear that. There's a story. There was a man who saw himself every day in a mirror, which somehow presented a distorted. Do you know in the circus, in the, what do you call this? Luna Park, yes. Sometimes there are these mirror cabinets, they are called in, at least in German, Spiegel cabinets. So you go in there. And then you appear very small, or very young, or little, or very fat, also. Different types of appearances can be created. So this man had such a mirror, but the mirror made him very beautiful because he was actually very ugly. So one day, people gave him a good mirror. He looked at a good mirror and thought, oh, I'm not looking very advantageous. And so, because he was so much desiring to look just beautiful, even though it was a lie, he took the mirror and broke it on the next stone. What do you think? This shows you how painful it can be to sometimes be in the association of Vaishnavas, and they tell you the areas where they think improvement is very beneficial for you, your own improvement. You prefer to just stick with the picture which the distortion mirror of the mind presents to you. Prefer that home, it looks more advantageous. So feedback can be good. How to give feedback as a Vaishnava? Well, first of all, you praise the Vaishnava so that he feels accepted. You know, like, give an imaginative name, Krishnadas. My dear Krishnadas, you have asked me to give you a feedback. I personally think you're very determined to follow the orders of your spiritual master. I can see this by the way you conduct your life. You get up early, you follow the sadhanas. Krishnadas, I only feel, this is my feeling, that there is one area you need to improve. Sometimes you are not so considerate of others' needs and so on. You seem to maybe just measure them this too high of expectations, and that gives them some misery. Maybe that is an area you can improve. Then this way, Krishnadas will feel encouraged. Oh yes, I'm having these, these devotees receive some good things in me, but yes, he doesn't hate me because of my sometimes a little strong and inconsiderate nature. Yes, I can see what he talks about. Go back to Krishna, think about this more, and make change, certain changes in my association with others.
Do you recommend regular daily feedback?
It really depends on the type of person you are. I recommend that we want to go back home, back to Godhead. And if this goal is there, then we will naturally and happily become interested, for instance, in what others, how others perceive us in their feedback. Without the big goal, the small goals are difficult to achieve. In other words, you must have a mission in your life to become, to go back to God, and do anything to do that, even become humble. Even become humble. Avaduta.
I've heard already before, you know, in psychology, mundane psychology, they say that you should have self-respect for oneself. And then I've heard also some devotees, they say the same thing. But somehow it
doesn't sound so.
I can understand this. Yeah.
I remember reading an article by Srila Satswarup Maharaj about this question. And he, in this article, he discussed a kind of, you could say, duality maybe, or opposite opinion, that a devotee doesn't want to false ego. He is ready to accept mistake, he sees his mistakes and wants to correct them. He doesn't want to gloss over his many weaknesses, but accept they are there and do something with it. Now, on the one side, we must be aware of false ego, which tells us we are so good despite all our weaknesses. Yesterday we discussed what is the meaning of Dumba, pride. It means you conceive, you deceive yourself, you don't see the truth. But on the other side, if you go to the other extreme and think that's spiritual, you are also mistaken. If you think, oh, I'm so wrong, I'm so dirty, I'm so nasty, I am not only the worst of men, but I'm also the worst of all prostitutes and prostitute hunters. And if you go into these extremes, just totally trying to put you down, that's a reaction, that's just the other side of pride. It's a, you're still, the pride person is concerned with his false ego, and the so-called humble person is also concerned with his false ego. They have the same attention. They have their attention on the same false self. To have self-respect means, according to this article, which I liked very much, you know you are a soul, not the body, and you are the disciple of your spiritual master, who is a glorious personality, and you will work now at those walls which are in between this realization. I find this a very nice definition of self-respect. You are part of God, Avadhuta. This is very, there's a reason to pay obeisances to you. Now, you should see yourself also like this. I'm yours, Krishna. I'm a part of you. But at the same time, you should remember that you're unfortunately still covered by the, maybe not you, but the bad beauty. I mean, it's good to say this to the body, not the Lord, but we should, let us talk of the B form. We should understand we are still covered with the material energy and some misconceptions also. So we will have to work on this. Hare Krishna. Look to the left, it's like this. My dear Maharaji said, if I look naturally, you're giving the lecture, then this is what I see. And but to see all of you, I will have to go over this side. Do you? Was there a question down there? Oh, sorry. There's a question, I mean, is it good or is it bad? But it's just a question. Krishna and Arjuna, yes, Yasnam, I don't know. Yes. Now how to see? Then Krishna sent Arjuna into battle. It was like the chief surgeon calling his assistant and telling him to make an operation. Yes, it is certainly violence, or this blood is flowing when the knife of the surgeon enters into the body of the patient. But it's something totally different than just the violence of a person who uses a knife, as a gangster who is into cutting. When Krishna told Arjuna to go into war, it was different than the wars of this world. The way it has been explained is that Duryodhana was like the incarnation of Kali. He was a partial incarnation of Kali, who created so much problems to the well-being on this planet Earth, so that Arjuna had to be used in taking him out. The example has been given of taking a thorn out by using another thorn. Those of you who are there in India and who got thorns in their feet know what this example means. In other words, the end result was totally different. It was helping, not harming. We can't, these modern wars, or these wars which you will see now, where one party says, "Oh, Pope, please bless our weapons." That is not, these are political wars. They are not, they may disguise themselves as religious wars, but they are really political wars. Hare Krishna. I had this dilemma also. Many have it because you will solve it if you accept that Krishna is Krishna. God, whatever he does is all beneficial. Do you know that all who died on this battlefield, they were liberated? Yes? Because God was there. I wish I would have been on the battlefield. Even, well, I don't know if I wish this, because if I could get this liberation, I want to go to Krishna Loka. What?
When you chant in Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, why don't you take your finger out from Japa?
Away from Japa, yes. You understood the question. He spoke in German, but we say that the in, yes, zeige finger, you said, oh, oh. Yeah, this is a deutsches Wort, or is it Slovene zeige finger? No. This index finger is away from the beast. Well, see, this comes together with the science of yoga. When you have this. This is called a mudra. It means a jnana mudra, knowledge mudra. But what happens is that the pranas make a circle here. Maybe it's so technical, I know. So this finger, the index finger, is also called the materialist amongst the fingers. Why? You went and say, "Look at him." Not you, but look at him. Or sometimes it's used to clean the stone. It's a materialist amongst the fingers. And therefore you keep them away from the sacred deeds. That's the explanation. These are two explanations. One comes from the yoga tradition. These fingers should be, then this is like considered to be a dirty finger. The material is, he has to stay outside of the neck. This is yoga knowledge. We are also in the process of yoga. By the way, the most important factor of all yoga practices is also for us, let us say, the most important factor when doing our japa meditation, and that is the yoga. You really want to control the mind, because you know that it is a stormy and uncontrolled mind which brings you from one life form to the next at the time of death, right? So also in Krishna consciousness, we want to purify the mind. Devotee, Prabhupada said once, devotee means the mind. He has to work on the room. So when you chant the zeige finger, with the index finger, it is important for the form, but the most important area of knowledge really refers you to the mind. chanting. So most important thing really is to be attentive to the chanting of the finger. The knowledge about the fingers is not the most important. It's not even explained very deeply by Srila Prabhupada. Because it's so relatively unimportant. What is important is the control of the mind, the attention. All right. Any last question? So I'm happy we should end it. All right, but this is not last question. You have to end around 9 o'clock, so it's 9:02. Yes.
In Bhagavad Gita, there is stated that neither Krishna's body nor his intelligence never deteriorates or changes. But he was born as a small baby and grew up in a boy, so yeah, his body should have changed.
That's here in this world as a leela, as a transcendental play, but Krishna has an eternal form of Shyama Sundar, which always remains the same age, it's eternal, but it means it doesn't undergo changes in growth. But here in this world, Krishna acts like not really like one of us. He performs also wonderful activities. You remember as a little child how he killed already this huge monster demons who made the earth shook and they walked.